Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 263rd episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
Marcus Freeman is the greatest coach ever. No, but
James Franklin is the worst coach ever.
Congratulations to Notre Dame on beating Penn State in the Orange Bowl tonight to make it to the national championship. This gives Marcus Freeman to be the chance to be the first African American head coach to win a Division I national championship. So I am definitely kind of soft rooting for him. I'm of course rooting for Texas. I have family that plays for Texas, but whatever. But we're not going to talk about football. I want to say I am doing well. Just watch some sports. New year going to well. Man, last weekend. Okay. Wrestle Kingdom, Collision, Wrestle Dynasty, Raw, the Raw Netflix return, NXT, NXT New Year's Evil, then AEW Dynamite. That's how much I've watched. I watched like 98% of the shows. Now, there was a match on Wrestle Kingdom between Zack Sabre Jr. and Shota Umino, and everybody's like, that match lasted forever. Well, while watching the show, I fell asleep and only woke up for the last 15 minutes of the match. So I really enjoyed the match because I didn't sit through all 43 minutes of it. But watched a fuck ton of wrestling in the last, 6 days? So, yeah, next year, hopefully I will be watching the same fuck ton of wrestling, but in Japan.
For sure. Yeah, I'm doing well. It's an exciting time for me, just being a Lions fan, being able to watch Wildcard Weekend and not have to worry about the Lions at all until next week. That's a lovely feeling. And then, like Floyd said, yes, so much wrestling. I tried to keep up with as much as I could. Unfortunately, with the way that my schedule works, pay-per-views that work on Japanese time, I have literal no chance of watching. So I have not been able to watch Wrestle Kingdom or Wrestle Dynasty. So it was an unfortunate habit for me. But when I get home at like 12:30 at night from work and I have to get up and then get ready for another second shift, there's just no chance that I can make it happen.
You know what's crazy is because Wrestle Dynasty was a dual co-promoted show. It was AEW New Japan Wrestle Dynasty. The matches on that show actually qualify for next year's match of the year, right? And yeah. So we might have already had the match of the year. So we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, it was very interesting. I work overnights, so Japan TNT wrestling schedule is perfect for me. I don't keep up with New Japan most weeks, but I do listen to on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, Keeping It Strong Style. Now, I want to make sure clear. When it comes to these two shows, when we talk about them in a second, I'm only going to cover them from an AEW point of view. So if AEW wrestler's not in the match, not talking about it. But if you want a full, detailed, analytical review of Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty,
our boys Keeping It Strong Style,
Josh and Jeremy got you. So you make sure that it is their most popular show of the year. I probably don't even need to put it over or advertise it because a ton of people already listen to it. And if you listen to the show, you might have already listened to it. But if you're listening to the show for like detailed Wrestle Kingdom stuff, you're not getting that here. We're not a New Japan podcast. We have New Japan podcasters that are fucking excellent. Even like I didn't know some of the storylines going into the show. I listened to their show, the preview show the week before. They gave good information, great information on it, and had me prepared for the show and allowed me to get emotionally invested in matches. So make sure you listen to them every week. New Japan for me has kind of fallen off, but they made a big signing this week that might get me to back to watching them regularly. I've never given up my New Japan World subscription because I just always try to support professional wrestling as much as I can, and it's basically $10 I don't see it come out of my account, so I'm never going to cancel it. So, but yeah, they did it, something big. So, yeah, let's get going, sir. I'm excited.
Yeah, we got a lot to get through on this episode of All Things Elite. Before we get into everything, though, we want to make sure you guys continue to support this show by downloading it, whether it's on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it is. Turn automatic downloads on and give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode of the podcast. And then if you want to follow us outside of that, you can follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can also follow @SocialSuplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network, including Keeping It Strong Style, like we mentioned. I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Of course, big news of the week, guys, the ATE Awards, the All Things Elite Awards, they are still open. You can continue to vote in them. And again, we are giving away tickets to All In Texas. They are available for you guys. You just have to take part in giving us your opinions on the best stuff of AEW from this past year. Floyd, you can tell them right then, like, how do they find the poll and everything so they can take part in this whole thing?
The poll is at @ElitePod on Twitter. It is the pinned tweet. On Blue Sky, it is the pinned tweet. So go ahead and click on that form and fill it out. Even if you don't want the tickets, let's say you don't want the tickets, fill out the form. We're just trying to get a wide variety of answers on what people think. As the votes come in, I always think it's a fairly decent gauge of what's working with the fan base, what's not working with the fan base over the last year. And we like to discuss it. So if you definitely keep voting, we'll announce the winner. And then, we'll announce the poll closes at the end of Maximum Carnage. At the end of Dynamite, Maximum Carnage next week, which is the 15th. At the end of 15th, I'm just stopping it. I'm just literally disabling the poll so I can, because what I want to do is get pretty good stats on, the trends and stuff. So I need at least a day to sit down and put all those numbers together. So that's why I'm closing it then. But again, if you don't want the tickets, vote. Shit. You win the tickets. You can either, if you win the tickets, I get with you. You need to choose to give away the tickets to someone you like, or you can just take the damn tickets and sell them. Whatever you want to do, yeah. It's your business. It's like, they are your tickets. It's not like, I'm not going to be stalking you. It's like, where are you? No, they're your tickets. So you do with whatever you may, where you will wish. I am just excited. There is one race There is one race, and this is like, I'm not going to say which one it is, but it's so out of hand one way that no one's ever going to catch it. Like, mm-hmm. It's amazing. But almost every other, like, out of all the contests, every other one is, like, within a few votes. It is very close. I truly thought, and I'm gonna give one away, I thought Will Ospreay would absolutely run away with Wrestler of the Year, and it is super close. Super close. He is not running away with it. Not going to tell you who it is, so just keep, because I don't want to influence anyone's vote, so just keep voting the way you vote, and we get new votes literally every day. I'm very happy with the progress of it. Thank you to everyone that has shared the link in their wrestling groups or whatever, and that's another thing. If you are a part of a wrestling group, right, and let's say you want the tickets, and the people in your group don't want them, have them vote, and then give the tickets to you. Either way, got to stack the deck. Do what you want to do. I don't care, but I'm very excited about doing it. I really want to do it, the award show, as its own show, but we'll figure that out when the voting's done.
For sure. So, yeah, be sure to take part in that whole thing. And, again, we'll announce the results and also the winner of the all-in tickets very, very soon. We want to get into some real quick stuff moving forward into this weekend of AEW. Of course, we'll touch a little bit on Collision from this past week. Floyd, was there any major things you wanted to hit? I thought the TNT Championship match that opened the show was really strong. I liked seeing Daniel Garcia and Mark Briscoe go at it because, you know, Danny being able to defend his title just in general, I've been enjoying to be able to see him, you know, do stuff with it. I've been hoping to see really some big movement of the TNT title. This was a good match to have to get Daniel Garcia a good defense against a former Ring of Honor champion, of course. And, you know, it was great in that regard. I'm just hoping we can get Danny a legit feud, you know, somebody to go after that title. That's the only thing. But the match with him and Briscoe was one match that really stuck out to me from Collision this past week.
The match was good. I enjoyed it. I hated the ending. With Briscoe beating him the first time, I really wanted Daniel Garcia to more get a definitive win, but I can kind of...
Yeah, it's the only thing. It's like, yeah, it just feels like when they don't want these guys to, like, take too much of a hit for taking a loss, they just do, like, cut, like, roll-ups or jackknife pins or whatever the hell it must be. I feel like these champions, even though, like, they're beating good people that people like, they need definitive wins.
Yeah, and only thing I could think is after the match, Briscoe did 1-1. So I think they're going to have a rubber match, and I think that might be when we get to the definitive win or what works into the next feud. The only thing else I can honestly remember from that night that I actually, you know, super cared about was rated FTR versus Learning Tree?
Learning Tree, yeah. Well, and also they were backstage with the Rock and Roll Express, too.
They were backstage with Rock. I honestly thought that segment was terrible. I just thought,
okay, with the Outrunners being there and all
that. No, it just looks so like, I don't know. I know everybody works really hard. I'm just talking about from a fan perspective. Believe me, I don't think I could have done it better. I'm just critiquing from a fan perspective. It just seemed,
yeah, that's how we do
it. Yeah, I'm just saying, it just seemed very second rate would be the best. Like, it is like, hey, you're seeing this. This is on the second wrestling show. They didn't even look like they were tied up all the way. And again, it's a show. You're supposed to look suspension of disbelief. It looked like the Rock and Roll Express could have got out of that anytime they wanted to. And right. It was just, and then it was just like this awkward thing where Dax was like, well, do I untie you or do I chase him? And I'm just like, I don't know. It just didn't feel very clear in how it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a lot for me to criticize anything FTR is involved with. So if I didn't like it, that means I didn't like it a lot. Because usually I just wouldn't say anything. I'd just say, it happened. Yeah, if I say that was something that happened, that generally means I kind of didn't like it. This one was like, I don't know. It just came off very awkward, not executed correctly. I feel like there are ways it could have been executed better. I am not the one to tell them how to do that. So hopefully they will work that out for the next time. But I do like that the Rock and Roll Express was on there. I grew up a diehard Ricky and Robert fan. I like that they were involved. But I kind of wanted them to get laid out. Maybe have them on the ground. Not even show it, but have them on the ground laid out. But Hal was kind of tied up. I'm like, what are you doing? What's going on here?
Yeah, I didn't have anything. The match itself, though, between Rated FTR and the Learning Tree, though, was a lot of fun.
It was absolutely fun. And I liked the whole thing. I am not the hugest fan of the Death Riders, but I'm liking that they added another feud in their form with a group that's kind of equally tasked to them, so the team is not just getting beat up every week. So right. I think
that at least, like, again, I just see it the way that I can't get it out of my head. I know that it's a stopgap until the Elite reunite to go after the Outrunner. I mean, go after the Death Riders and all that kind of stuff. I know that. I'm excited to see how these guys bounce off each other and all that kind of stuff, and just like kind of the ways that they go at it, like the angle they can go at it with. But you know, I know what the end goal of the storyline is, and I'm just kind of like, you know, can we just do this already?
Yeah, like
can we just wrap it up.
I don't think Cope is winning the world title, but I do really want them to win the 6-man titles really quick. I want them to read the trio
titles. Yeah, just at that point, so I can see the fucking belts, you know? Yeah. I haven't even seen them in, like, months.
Yeah. People's like, hey, you should have less belts than AEW. Well, you haven't seen the world title or the trio title in, like, 2 months. So
I really haven't, dude.
Less titles, so baby.
They've had less titles, yeah. But more so, it's like they exist. You just don't see them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But either way, there's that. We'll quickly go over, before we get into Dynamite, the participation AEW had in both Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty. Floyd, you have like all the AEW participation from those shows?
Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom was one match. The Alpha to Konosuke Takeshita versus Shingo Takagi in a title-for-title match. International title versus Never Open Weight title. And in a hard-hitting, old-school, never-open-weight match, Konosuke Takeshita becomes your dual champion. He is both the international title champion in AEW and the never-open-weight champion in a New Japan. After this week, it was announced that Konosuke Takeshita, maybe make him 3 contracts Takeshita, as in he signs a deal with New Japan. He signs a new contract with New Japan. He has a contract with DDT, and he has a contract with AEW. So he is technically all the wrestlers in one. So that actually made sense with him winning that was the case. So yeah, Takeshita beat that match, and that match was really good. I am not a superstar person, because I don't think I'm overly critical. I would have had this match, if I'm setting it at 4 stars, I thought it was a really fun match. I think Takeshita's one of the best wrestlers in the world. I think Shingo Takagi, one of the best wrestlers in the world. So it was a banger for the time that they had. I do want to send a shout out to one non-AEW person, Doki, on a spot in the junior match. He actually looked like he like dislocated his elbow. He broke his arm, dislocated his elbow. I don't know what the exact diagnosis was, but shout out to him. It looked like when Rey Fénix happened in the tag match. It looked pretty disgusting. They had to end the match, so hopefully Doki gets well soon. The Wrestle Dynasty. There was a lot of news out of Wrestle Dynasty, but the big news out of Wrestle Dynasty, hold on just a second. So there was a fatal four-way or a four-way match before with all the women. It was Willow, Persephone, Momo Watanabe, and Athena. In the middle of the match, Thekla hit Thekla distracted it, and then Momo hit her with a baseball bat. And it was like the best baseball shot of all time, and Athena lost to Thekla. So that leads to Athena now having a title match in Stardom with Thekla. So and Momo Watanabe actually can pick a title shot against any wrestler from any of the companies or related. So that's pretty cool. Sons of Texas, Dustin and Sammy Guevara, you know, they beat Kanemaru, and I forgot the other guy. It was just kind of it was a nothing match. Shout out to Sammy for getting a debut in the Tokyo Dome. Dustin, you know, I think he might have the longest between Tokyo Dome appearances ever, because the last time he debuted was in the 90s with his dad, Dusty. So that's a shout out to them. But AEW ROH, whatever, wins again, which was great. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, all good.
I thought I had it all off the top of my head, you know, like a good podcaster should. But I believe like the first couple matches in my brain are missing. So I want to make sure I cover those correctly, because I'm not an asshole, you know.
Yeah.
No, where's the results page? Right. Yeah, I don't like New Japan's website most of the time. And then I found out that most people don't like New Japan's website. So there we go.
It doesn't work really well with us.
Yeah, I should be able to get results from the New Japan website. Not have to go to Bleacher Report to get results. So let's see. So here's a look at card from the show. Boom, boom, boom. B grade. Okay, there was a Lucha Gauntlet match. No AEW participation in that. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Shibata had a 5-minute grappling match, but all they did is like chop each other. And Shibata gave an interview afterwards saying that, you know, basically he can't get cleared to have a real match in Japan. So maybe he'll have that match. Hey, maybe they can come back stateside and have that match. And then we got Mina Shirakawa and Mercedes Moné for another title versus title match, strong women's title and undisputed British women's championship. Mercedes Moné came out in a Sailor Moon cosplay. Mina Shirakawa.
Yeah, I did see. Yes.
Yeah, Mina Shirakawa came out and did her. Just was Mina Shirakawa. They actually put on a banger of a match. Bleacher Report actually gave it a grade of an A. I would probably went B, but whatever. It was a great match, but your winner and new or still strong women's champion and new undisputed British women's champion, Mercedes Moné. And since the British title has this title called the Southside title that was unified, she's actually carrying around 4 belts. So that's a lot of belts to be carrying around. Traveling through security had to be hell. Then we had David Finlay versus Brody King. I thought this was straight never open weight, banger, physical match. Brody King did like 80% of the offense, but in the end, David Finlay scored one for New Japan Wrestling. Then we had Shota Umino versus Claudio Castagnoli. Claudio attacked him before the match and literally took 80% of the offense, and then Shota Umino beat Claudio Castagnoli. Thought that match was good. Honestly, not a lot of this is worth really going back and tracking down if you're strapped for time, but it's definitely something if you're not strapped for time, if you got a few hours, you definitely want to throw on the show, because I thought this was the better in-ring show of it. It was, you know, it was a great show. Then you had Konosuke Takeshita versus Tomohiro Ishii. If you've seen these two wrestling, imagine exactly how you think it would be. And that's exactly how it was. They just beat the shit out of each other. And Takeshita got the win. Triple threat match. We had a United Empire, which was Jeff Cobb, was the mystery opponent for Great O'Con, which was a mystery tag team partner, which was no mystery at all. He was just another guy from the group. Hiroshi Tanahashi. I mean, Hiromu Takahashi, Tetsuya Naito, and then your EVPs, the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. They were full-on EVPs. They did not come out like the old Young Bucks. They used the old Young Bucks music, but they still had the beard. Matt had on a pearl necklace and pearl earrings. They were still your EVPs. The Young Bucks won your titles to be your two-time IWGP Tag Champs. Who did they pin? Yeah, it was a tornado tag too, so there was no tags. I thought this match was fun, so I would go back and watch it if you have time. Yota Tsuji against my boy Austin's favorite wrestler in the world, Jack Perry, baby. He's the scapegoat. Not the scapegoat in Austin's mind. Yeah, Yoda Suji and Jack Perry.
He crawled out of his little dungeon just to be able to be like, show his fucking face after being off TV for 4 months.
And let me say, they put on a wrestling match. That was a match that happened. You know how I feel when I say,
oh, like match. All of the matches Jack Perry's had.
Yes, that was a match that definitely happened. I was not enthused. I have nothing negative or positive to say about the match. Yoda Suji won, though. So you can see this is going one way. You see who's winning all these matches.
You don't say.
Yes, New Japan's winning all the matches on the New Japan show. Then we had the match. The maybe AEW match of the year. If you don't go back and watch a lot of wrestling, or if you only will go back and watch wrestling one or two matches a year, this is the match you should go back and watch. Kenny Omega comes out with new music, looking jacked. Honestly,
Final Fantasy style music, bro.
Yes, and if you would told me, you could have told me this man never had surgery. You like literally straight abs, look like jacked to the gills at the top. Gabe Kidd comes out. I mean, fans are completely behind him. He rips off his shorts and is wearing the Lion's Gate or Lion's Mark because he is New Japan all the way. And they go out there and for however long this match lasts, fucking killed each other. I think it was like a 9-6-6 on cage match, which is pretty much close to a perfect score you're going to get. Gabe Kidd was completely physical and in his zone. Kenny Omega was you did not lose a step. He is fucking Kenny Omega. He is the god of professional wrestling. It's like, it is Kenny Omega. In my mind, Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, Kazuchika Takeshita, and then everybody else. And just to think that all three of those men are under the same wrestling roof, which is amazing. Gabe Kidd came out a star. I mean, this is WrestleMania 13, Austin and Bret Hart. Rich Latta made this comparison before the match that he saw this match coming out. And all I said was, oh my God, I was like, as a person that's a big fan of that match and lived it in real time, no, you're not going to be that match. And it was by every bit, the blood. The New Japan faithful who love Kenny Omega turned on him, and they were cheering Gabe Kidd and booing Kenny Omega. We'll talk about another aspect of this in a bit after we get to the end of the show. But yes, this match was five easy. Like, to me, it was 30 minutes or 20 minutes in the match or 10 minutes in the match. I already knew it was 5 stars. I was just like, how much over 5 stars am I going? I would have went 5.5. It was an excellent professional wrestling match. Kenny Omega, I said this, and you're not going to, you're going to hear this 100 times. Kenny Omega and the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, changed the way I watched, consumed professional wrestling. When they had their match at Wrestle Kingdom, main event at Wrestle Kingdom, it literally changed my taste in professional wrestling. I was like, this is what pro wrestling could be. This is what pro wrestling should be. So, and ever since then, it has really dictated what I liked and what I didn't like. This match literally put me back into place the first time I saw Kenny Omega. It was exceptional. Exceptional. It was perfect. It was every other adjective you want to use for a great match. It was. This is the kind of matches I want in AEW. This is the kind of match that I think you only can get in New Japan. Shout out to New Japan style, keeping it strong style. This is what they do better than everybody else. And so, yeah, it was great. Make sure you go ahead and watch that match. If we can get a match half that good in AEW at any show, it'll be great. I definitely want Kidd working in Gabe Kidd working in AEW. I doubt he will. And then there was the main event after that, which is Zack Sabre Jr. and Ricochet. Let me tell you, I felt so bad for Zack Sabre Jr. and Ricochet after watching that match. I was like, how the fuck do you follow that? And they did. They successfully followed it. I'm not going to say they did another five-star match. They didn't. But it wasn't, the match wasn't so like, oh my God, that other match was so much better. It was like they really went out and put on a really good match. Of course, Zack Sabre Jr. gets the win. The first Gaijin to go back-to-back main events in the Dome. Shout out to Zack Sabre Jr., the first one to win the main event at the Dome since Brock Lesnar in, I believe, 2006. I thought they were two shows. I thought Wrestle Kingdom was good. Wrestle Dynasty was phenomenal. So, and of course, Wrestle Dynasty had a lot of AEW people in there. So, you know, that didn't hurt. But the news after that match was amazing. I want you to understand. I hope I gave it its flowers and its glory before I talk about what I'm going to talk about, because I don't want to take away from how good that match was. Well, Chris Charlton, he is, I guess, the color guy to Walker Stewart in New Japan. Chris Charlton decided, I don't know if he was going in business for himself, whatever. He decided he was going to take shots at Tony Khan during the show. At one point saying, all billionaires are bad. And another point saying, another point calling Tony Khan a money mark. Saying all the people ran from New Japan to AEW when they found a money mark. I think that's exactly, if I'm paraphrasing, I don't know, but that's exactly along the lines of what he's doing, what he said. And then last but not least, basically shitted on the C2 and said it was nothing compared to, you know, the G1. And stuff happened from this. Rocky was on, and shout out to Rocky. He tried to defend it, even tried to help Chris by trying to reel him back. Chris did not take the bait. He went on this thing. So the next day, we get news. There was a New Year's Dash. I did not watch New Year's Dash. I was reading on Twitter, and everybody said it was a completely skippable show. So I didn't watch it. You know, everybody on Twitter said it was not to watch it, and they know more about New Japan than me. So, apparently Chris Charlton wasn't on the show. And apparently people that were filling in, doing American broadcasting with Walker Stewart, took shots of saying why, you know, Charlton wasn't there, and Walker tried to deflect it. Shout out to Walker Stewart. It's kind of cool knowing someone that did the announcing on AEW. I'm like, it's just, that's just kind of cool to think about. He did a great job on the shows that week. But Chris Charlton, like I said, I'm not going to tell you his motivation because I don't know Chris Charlton. And that's, I'm not going to, but he decided to go at AEW. Now, my whole thing on him going, quote unquote, at AEW is you're calling a, quote unquote, dual promoted show with half AEW wrestlers on there that were sent to Japan to perform to help you draw on your second night in the building, right? This was done. Why would you then try to shit on AEW? Now, Austin, you are the only one that I know that has done this professionally. You've heard what was said. Is that something, like, to me, there's a difference between being pro New Japan and anti AEW.
Yeah, to me, like, like, considering that guy, like, goes on a show that is a New Japan production, but also features companies from AEW, Stardom, and, like, you know, it was a multi-promotion show. He didn't just, like, you know, tout the flag of New Japan, but was, like, kind of shitting on AEW and also Stardom. And, like, in a, no, it was an AEW-specific attack, and it was a Tony Khan-specific attack. Quite frankly, like, when you're a commentator, and you're doing shit like that, it's unbelievably unprofessional, and just, I don't know, man. That's something I would think if, like, you know, like if you hire Jim Cornette to do a commentating job for an AEW show, like I expect him to shit on it because, like, you know, that's his gimmick. You know what I mean? But like, you're supposed to be a New Japan commentator and you're just going out of your way to just take shots during the show when AEW talent is on the show. To me, like, that is definition of going into business for yourself. I don't care if it's a commentator or whatnot. That's just horseshit right there. And it's just so tacky. Like, if you're a commentator, especially in professional wrestling, your job is to get the shit in the show over. And to me, that just sounds like a guy who's trying to get themselves over because, haha, I don't like Tony Khan. I don't like AEW. I don't like this, that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm trying to get perks with the internet boys. Like, it's just, it screams of just, look at me, I'm pathetic. I don't know.
So,
like, if you're doing that and you're a commentator, like, quite frankly, like, you know, this is not the profession for you. Because also, if you're a commentator, why would you want to limit the places you could work? You know, there's not many commentating jobs in professional wrestling as it is. Why would you immediately limit the opportunities that you're going to get to commentate as a in the industry of professional wrestling, an industry where there's not many jobs that pay well when it comes to trying to commentate in professional wrestling? This shows to me that you just have no idea what the fuck you're doing.
All right. So I wanted that out there. I wanted your aspect because you have a unique view for me, right? When I did my limited stuff with limited stuff on my local indie, I always was a heel. I just ran everybody down, just literally everybody on the show. So I, you know, like this whole,
but you go into it, but also too, it's like that was the role that you played.
Yes.
And that was, that was your assigned role given to you by the promoter and by the company itself. Like, this was what you were going to do for the show. Like, unless I have actual evidence that people in New Japan told him to do that, which, like, I don't see that would be, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's something he went out of his way to do. Now, if he wants to come out and be like, no, that was an assigned, like, these were lines that I was being told to say, you can go ahead and say that, and I need proof. Whoa. But to me and to everybody else, this is evident. This is just clearly evident of just like an absolute like solo, like I'm going to shit on Tony Khan on a mega show that he's sending talent over to this company to perform at.
And, you know, like, AEW fans are watching it and are staying up to watch it. So, okay. All right. So these are my thoughts, right? I am not an overly sensitive person. The first time I thought it, I was like, oh shit, they're working towards a AEW versus New Japan rivalry.
Like you're trying to set up like
They're gonna trying to set up some kind of angle with All In, you know, needing to sell tickets with Forbidden Door being in London. Man, this seems like a great way to start this feud. So I'm excited, right? I'm excited first because, you know, that's me. I'm like, use everything, make everything a work. Everyone knows that about me, right? So I then get in the next day and I wake up because I messaged Rich Latta and I was like, did he just call Tony Khan a money mark? And I was like, I heard it when it happened. I was like, huh, how's this going to go over, right? Next morning, I woke up from a tweet. I think it was Dave Meltzer broke it. That Chris Charlton was indefinitely suspended from New Japan. Obviously wasn't
a... Like, it's such a pathetic, like, Bush League move to do that. And, like, the fact that he got suspended, that is the most obvious thing that was going to happen. And it's like, what did you think was going to happen, dude? You just made it like you're never getting a job in this industry again.
It disappointed me. It did. Because I was like, that means it's not a work. That means this dude is just an idiot. I'm like, I was hoping it was a work. I was
giving you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, I was hoping this was an idea that we could do for the show.
Yeah, I was hoping New Japan went in on it and AEW replied and we were building up beef, you know? And I was excited and then it was like, oh shit. Yeah.
Oh my god,
he just fucked up on national TV. Or on streaming site. Whatever. It's not national TV, but streaming site. Whatever. So that was my thought process. I am not an overly sensitive AEW fan. If you like New Japan better than AEW, fine. If you prefer the G1, C2, don't care. WWE, I don't understand what you like in professional wrestling, but again, none of my business. But to go on a dual-promoted show where AEW has sent wrestlers over there to help you sell tickets to your second night of the Dome, which ticket sales were down because you haven't built any new stars, then to take shot at the company that did that, that you're working with, your partner, and it not be part of a storyline, just seems ill-advised.
Yeah, we don't need to waste any more time on this dude because, like I said, I didn't even know who this guy was before this shit came out.
And you know what?
I will never hear from this guy again because he's not getting another job in pro wrestling. If you're going out and you're shitting on a company that you're doing business for, what promoter is going to have any trust in you that you're going to do your job if you're going out and you're actively wrecking the show by shitting on one of the companies that is part of a multi-brand show? How can any promoter trust you, you dumb fuck?
So apparently he has been...
You want to tweet shit out, do whatever you want. Don't do it on the fucking show.
2 months, Tony Schiavone had a reply in the morning and basically told him he smelled bad. I thought that was hilarious. He has since deleted that tweet. But it looks like other news has come out. The suspension or whatever is just from commentary. From what I understand, it's like a month or two. Again, if you want all the actual New Japan news, you should be going to Keeping It Strong Style. I'm not trying to be a commercial for them, but this is their year, time of year. Wrestle Kingdom is their time of their time. So if you want all the news on this, you go to Keeping It Strong Style. But I just like it was. It was funny in me, and I was like, oh my God, this is working towards something. Because I think, and this controversial or not controversial, I think it is in AEW's interest, Tony Khan's interest. I think it is in everybody on the AEW's roster interest to make New Japan as strong as possible. Right? To get New Japan as strong as possible. To help them create new stars, to keep them super relevant, help them sell tickets. It's super important because every year we do this dual show called New Japan, called Forbidden Door. And now they're adding another one called Wrestle Dynasty. What does it look like if AEW is wrestling a bunch of people that are not considered the stars of New Japan? People are going to stop buying tickets to the show. So what you do is you get on the show, you job to them, you do whatever you have to do. Hell, bring them over on Dynamite, and you help New Japan be as strong as possible and make stars. I know New Japan can stand on their own feet, and they don't need AEW. I hope no one is taking this wrong. I'm just saying it only benefits AEW is if New Japan creates new stars and is considered as a strong product. Because they're your partner. Because they're your partner. You have two strong companies. So when you do these crossover shows, they will hit even more, they will get more streams. They will get more buys than ever. So AEW should be all in on New Japan being strong. And I'm not talking about New Japan strong.
And I'm going to say this too, because like I said, I know I'm going to guess, this is just my opinion. I'm not trying to sway people's opinions, but I can imagine some New Japan fans, hardcore day one New Japan fans, probably got pissed off on the success of AEW because, I mean, Bullet Club, like that whole group, the main guys from this iteration of Bullet Club leave, start their own company, and then are doing mega numbers in the US and it's all that kind of stuff. And, New Japan had a lot of trouble trying to fill the vacuum. And they still put on amazing shows since then. Let's not be giving it credit. But, get that twisted. But I can imagine some New Japan fans that are hardcore, all New Japan all the time, feel some type of way about AEW because of all the talent that they had come over to their company, all that kind of stuff. But that being said, though, the company clearly has a working relationship. That's why we've had 2 years of Forbidden Door. That's why we've had Wrestle Dynasty. So there is still a working relationship with New Japan and AEW that is healthy. So if you are not okay with you know, these companies working together, or you're not okay with AEW and their business practices or how Tony Khan handles things, that is completely fine. But if you are a paid member of New Japan Pro Wrestling and you are hired to do a show where you're going to be talking about AEW and New Japan and you're going to be promoting the show as a commentator, you either do your job or they will find someone else to do it. Like, I know he's been, apparently he's been doing New Japan commentating for well over 4 years now. My brother in Christ, in this industry, we are so replaceable. I know that firsthand. So, you want to go out there and you want to put your flag on the mark right there, like, this is my hot hill that I'm going to die on, you will die on that hill.
Yeah.
And you will be gone like that, man.
And it's
not the fight you want to make.
And it's, and so
clearly it's gonna hurt this dude for a while. And I just feel bad because he should have been better.
I think he'll be back with New Japan and he'll eventually be fine. But my thing is, I've heard from both sides, of course, people that don't like Tony Khan. Tony Khan's sensitive and he got this guy laid off. People that do like Tony Khan, yeah, he went into business for himself. And to me, that's it's weird because I told a friend about the original news that the guy got suspended, right? And I guess it's either a month or two, whatever. And the guy got suspended. He's like, Tony Khan sensitive. So another news thing came out later from the same person that Tony Khan had nothing to do with it. And he's like, I don't believe that.
Yes, because it doesn't line up with my...
What? It doesn't line up with
the same shit, dude. And again, you want to critique Tony Khan and the shit that he's done, go ahead. I've done that on this show.
Yes,
I'm not on a payroll of a company that is doing a show with AEW.
Yes, we are fans. We buy our tickets with our own money. We can say whatever the fuck we want to.
Tony Khan does not pay me. This is not an AEW like branded show. This is a fan podcast about AEW.
I doubt he even knows we exist.
Correct. But you are hired by New Japan Pro Wrestling to commentate on a show that features AEW talent and is a partnership show with AEW. Like, if I brought you on to do Forbidden Door, my hope is that not only would you commentate positive stuff about New Japan, because he's clearly...
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You got a wealth of knowledge about New Japan, but you would also do your due diligence and do your job for the AEW talent as well. Because I will tell you right now, the commentators at AEW, Excalibur, Tony Schiavone, all those guys, they do their due diligence with the New Japan wrestlers that come over for Forbidden Door.
You should do
the same shit, and they don't talk shit about brass.
Only talk positively about New Japan on TV. They don't ever say anything bad about New Japan on TV. That's why I thought it was an angle. Because I thought it was an angle. Because I was like,
you couldn't be that stupid.
Yeah.
Go and try to make this the hill that you're gonna die.
And shout out to if Tony Khan or anybody with Tony Khan's ear is listening to the show, make it an angle. But you know that's where I always sit.
Never make it an angle. They didn't make it an angle with the guy that I wanted them to make it an angle with. But
yes, fights over feelings, baby. Fights over feelings.
It's pro wrestling, baby. How this shit works.
No, but that's just how I see it. But that was enough of that.
Is enough. Plenty enough time on that. Obviously, we spent bit more so just because I'm a broadcaster and I have a little bit more.
It was truly crazy that this a masterpiece of a match came out and all everyone was talking about was Chris Charlton. That's
congrats, man. Don't worry, they'll forget about this brother like in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So
now, moving on to AEW Dynamite taking place from Clarksville, Tennessee. We got to get into this because the show opened up, first of all, with a banger match between Buddy Matthews and the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay. Ospreay, I'll tell you right now, dude, you open up the show and I hear da-da-dun-dun-da-da-dun-da. Like, I already know. I'm like, oh, we're starting off with hot-ass shit. And that's what we got because Buddy Matthews is a badass. Will Ospreay is a badass. The Oz Cutter to the outside was fucking awesome. I thought that shit was so good. And these guys are striking each other so well. And dude, Buddy Matthews dived to the outside where I thought he was almost going to go headfirst into the damn announce table when he did that, cause he flipped so hardcore. But it was really, really, really good. A really strong match. I think the only thing was, I think after the match, Ospreay got on the microphone though, and he accidentally called him Buddy Murphy.
Yes. I honestly didn't even notice that until you just said it, but I do remember it. This match is what you always, this is what you know Buddy Matthews can do. Oh, yeah. I remember when he was in 205 Live and he was like, he's a poor man's Kenny Omega. And I was like, being a poor man's Kenny Omega means you're pretty
I'll fucking take that. I keep saying it all the time with Buddy Matthews. First match I saw him in person, they randomly threw out him and Leo Rush for WrestleMania 34 Access.
Yes.
And they were just doing a match. And I was like, holy shit, these guys just wrestle here like right now? Like this shit could be on Raw. Like I watched this match on Raw because this dude was striking the living fuck out of Leo Rush. There was one knee strike he gave to Leo that absolutely blew me away because it looked like he just like absolutely took his head off. Yes. Like Matthews is just he's just that kind of dude, man. He's so damn solid.
You could literally put him in a match with anyone. I definitely looking forward to what they do because this wasn't a match you just put on. You put on the match. It's amazing. Then Will Ospreay gets on the mic and literally puts over you and Brody King. They have plans for you, right, when they do something like this. This led to speculation that Malakai Black was finishing up with AEW. Then there's been reports that Malakai Black is actually finishing up with AEW. So it looks like Brody King and Buddy Matthews will be left. I hope they keep the House of the Black group together. I hope we still get that. If Malakai is done, thank you. Basically, thank you for your service, sir.
I agree with you on that regard, though. But the problem is with me is that I hear this shit with Malakai like every 6 months.
Yes,
that his time with AEW is done.
Yes,
the amount of times that I've seen this man like constantly be linked to leaving AEW is way too much. So I'm gonna need to see proof before I believe that he's gone from AEW. Because I feel like every year he has to hop on Instagram and talk about the reports and be like how everything's horse shit and no one knows what's going on and blah, 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 blah.
But that's the key. He did not hop on Instagram and say everything's horse shit.
I agree. Like I said, I just need the proof before I officially believe it.
And shout out to Malakai Black. I mean, thank you for, you know, performing the way you did in AEW. House of Black's entrances were some of my favorites. It's great. Could they have pushed you more? Absolutely. Could they have done anything? Absolutely. Whatever. I don't know. I enjoyed his time there. You know, I enjoyed his time. I have my Cody Malakai Black from A Dynamite Homecoming poster on my wall, and it'll be there, you know, as long as I'm there. And, you know, I'm not going to feel any negative. If I'm in Indianapolis for the Royal Rumble and it hits number 12 and you hear the old Malakai Black or Aleister Black music, I'm just going to salute, say great. You know, I hope he does well. You know, if I had the chance, me and Crystal, my wife, worked in the same industry, and I had the chance to work with her on the in the same company and travel together and spend time with her, I would absolutely take that up. You know, that would be important. I don't know if that's his motivation or anything like that. I don't know this man. So this is just me talking. Great. And if he ends up with AEW, that's great too. I'm not going to be mad at him for moving on. I'm not mad at Pentagon for moving on. I am like this though. AEW's my team. They're my Chiefs. And just like when Tyreek Hill went from the Chiefs to the Miami, and I stopped caring about his existence. It's pretty much what's going to happen when you leave AEW, except if your name's Cody Rhodes. Unless your name's Cody Rhodes. So
there you go. We then had Private Party's championship victory celebration. They came out. They were partying. They talked about how they made history being in the first tag title match that was featured on Max and on TNT, talking about Collision. And then they said, we walked into Charlotte as tag team champs, left Charlotte as your champs, and we're going to celebrate. And they were going to talk about some stuff, but they were then interrupted by the Hurt Syndicate. And MVP is like, hey, we want a party too. Let's raise a toast to Private Party. And Zay was like, all right, all right. He goes, I would like to propose a toast to these incredible athletes who successfully defended these tag team championships. And Bobby's here to the Hurt Syndicate. And here's to the Hurt Syndicate taking those tag team titles. Here we go. This is now the big feud for the tag team titles, and I'm all for it. Like, the instant these guys now put their sights on that, like, I'm all for this, man. All right. This is something that's exciting with Private Party. It's exciting for the tag division. It's exciting for those tag team titles. And I'm very much looking forward to these guys, because I feel like this is a feud where you could have it go long term if you wanted to, and really give Private Party something to fight against. Because, dude, Lashley and Shelton as tag champions and all that kind of stuff, dude, they could be a dominant force that, like, people have to overcome. And I think it would be really, really exciting. Just this feud alone has me massively intrigued, more so than anything in the tag division has in a very long time.
Can I ask a personal question, though? I'm very excited about Shelton and Bobby going for the tag belts. Can the Hurt Syndicate only feud with black people?
That is the thing. Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on?
In my head, I was like, oh, hang on. I was like, no, wait, hang on. I think you might be onto something.
What is going on here? I'm like, hey, I'm going to wait. I'm going to let it play out. But I'm asking that question on January 10th, 2025. So if the Hurt Business win the tag belts or don't win the tag belts, and the next guys that go after are black, I'm bringing this back up.
I'm going to tell you, too, we're a month away from Black History Month. We better get this shit sorted. I'm
like, they only can fight black people? What is going on here? like I know Sheldon was in the C2 and he fought other races, but it was just like, oh, that's great. No, but it's like, but when they start a beef, it always seems to be with the other black guys. What's going on?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
No, because I truly think the Private Party tag reign is not going to be long.
No,
I don't think it's going to be long.
My hope is that this is something where they can kind of try to fight their way back up, and they, like, the Hurt Syndicate can be like a mountain they can try to overcome, because I think it would be very interesting to watch.
Hurt Syndicate is hot. The people love that tag team group. Even from the voting, I mean, they are hot. Like, they were only in the company like 3 months. You'd be surprised where they are as far as faction of the year. So that's crazy. So, like, don't get me wrong, they're not popular, but it just seems, you know, interesting. Listen, yes, I was very interested in where they went. But Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin as the tag champs, that's a monster tag team. That's what I've been asking. I know Shelton Benjamin is not necessarily considered a monster, but if you look at him and how he's been booked, he has basically been booked like a monster. So they are definitely a monster tag team that would add some legitimacy to the tag team division. And you know who doesn't hurt for screen time? The Hurt Syndicate. So with them walking out with those tag belts, I can dig it. So, and yeah, I had to ask that question.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, in my head, I'm like, nah, that's not a thing, nah. And I'm just like, oh, no, this is a thing. This is a thing that's happening. Yeah, interesting enough. We'll move on, though. Speaking of the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley had a one-on-one match with Mark Briscoe, and it was a good match. It was a solid enough match. I thought Lashley really just, like, took, again, Lashley just fucking hits. He hits hard. And just, there was a really good point, too, where there was MVP was incensed at one point because you had a steel chair get used by Mark Briscoe, and he flew over him and all that kind of stuff. And that's where like MVP was screaming disqualification, disqualification. The only thing I was saying was that the froggy bow that he hit on Lashley, the kick out at one, I felt like it didn't hit. Like when it happened, I felt like it didn't, like the crowd didn't freak out about it. Like I felt like they should have, you know what I mean? Like yeah. That was the one spot that didn't really feel like it connected the way that it should have. Eventually, Lashley then spears him, choke slams Briscoe, hit Hurt Lock. Ref calls the match. Then they start beating up on Mark Briscoe. Private Party comes out with steel chairs to save Mark. And then MVP and the Hurt Syndicate back off. Again, very excited for that feud, though. But this match was all right. I thought it was pretty good.
Correct. I completely agree. I loved how it made Bobby Lashley look. But I would like to see Lashley and Shelton pick up few more tag team wins, beat some heavy. I know that's not necessarily how it always works in AEW, but pick up some tag team wins, beat up some legitimate tag teams before they're then, you know, given a title shot.
As a fellow supporter of you and your tag team championship, like your tag team supremacy like style, I agree with you 100%.
Yes, I want them to beat some people. I want them to earn the title shot.
No, 1,000%. Yeah. We then moved on to the Casino Gauntlet match, which opened up, and the winner of this match, of course, would face Jon Moxley at Maximum Carnage next week. Jay White and Hangman Adam Page, first two participants, which is really awesome. I loved how they had these two guys open up the match after they were in the four-way for the world title back at World's End. I thought that was a really, really nice touch. Really good work of these guys putting out the opening like just work against each other. Wheeler Yuta comes in immediately. I'm like, oh, there's the punching bag for the casino for the battle royal. And oh, he became the punching bag. They beat the shit out of Wheeler Yuta in this match, like all throughout the entire thing. We then hear Swerve Strickland's music play, but then you hear psych bitch. And it's Ricochet's music.
He said, "It's my house, bitch." Is what he said.
My house, bitch. Yeah. Yes. And then he does his. And then he does his Jada kiss. Aha!
Yes. I think you like doing that too
honestly,
much, sir.
He likes doing it too much. No, honestly, nice move. I thought that was a nice little move.
Oh God,
that caught me off guard, and I was like, "Oh, okay, good work there. That's actually really cool." Adam Cole then came out. They had Daniel Garcia come out there as well, which was interesting. Like, it's nice to see the TNT champion in there. We're trying to get a world title shot as well. Then Hobbs comes in, and he's throwing people around.
Powerhouse.
Dude, I was hyped seeing him in this match. Roderick Strong was also the next entrant. Murderhawk Monster Lance Archer came in. Kyle O'Reilly came in. And then Jeff Jarrett was the final entrant.
Who never made it in. Willie Yuta attacked Jeff Jarrett, came in the ring, and he never made it in the ring.
Yeah. He never was able to get in there because he was just getting the shit. Like, dude, I mean, like, he comes in, and then Yuta goes and hits him from behind before he even makes the entrance, and then they start fighting to the back, yeah. And I thought that was a nice little touch, too. This match was just fun all the way through. A lot of really, really great wrestlers that were in this match, and they all got their good shit in. I can't really go over every single spot from the match itself, but I thought it was a really good moment, and I love the guy they picked to win. I love the fact that they gave Hobbs to win.
So, like, I came in thinking it was going to obviously be Jay White, right? That was like, oh, Jay White's going to win. Not because he was one, but because Jay White has said his eyes were set on Jon Moxley. Then they did this thing where Willa Yuta basically took Jay White out of the match, too. Willa Yuta has just become the pest in everybody's...
Dude, that's a thing. That's why they kept beating the shit out of him, because everyone hates Yuta.
Yeah, bug in everyone's soup. But in the end, when his music hit and he came in, this is like in the moment, I was like, oh, it could be Powerhouse House, but that would actually make sense.
Dude, he chanced immediate when he came in.
Yeah, so I was like, that would make sense. And then, yeah, and in the end, I don't even remember who he pinned. Do you remember who he pinned?
Yeah, I do remember. Hobbs, the finish came when Hobbs proceeded to get out of the blackout attempt by Archer and then hits Kyle O'Reilly with a spine buster. So your boy, Kyle O'Reilly, gets pinned.
Yes, so he pinned the perfect person. Kyle O'Reilly, but, you know, I was really happy for Hobbs. his big injury came in that New Japan World Title match against Jon Moxley. So the fact that he's getting to come back and have an AEW World Title match at Maximum Carnage in Cincinnati, Jon Moxley's hometown, that's going to be a fun match. He did a promo after. What did he say in the promo, sir?
Yep. He said, let's shoot for a second. Let it be told that Jon Moxley is the one that brought me to AEW, but next week I plan on shocking the world because I'm going to make Moxley my bitch.
Critique. Bring up the fact that Jon Moxley took you out in the last match. Like, mm-hmm. He took away that many months. And I don't even think Jon Moxley did it. I believe it was just a freak accident. But the way it works in wrestling, if you guy get hurt when you're wrestling that guy, he injures you. Yeah, so I thought that could have added a little bit more. He's like, you took 9 months from me or whatever, how long he was out. Now I'm going to take your title from you. Just a fan critique. Fan critique.
Makes sense, yeah. I thought it was fine enough little after-match promo.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the match. I know Hobbs doesn't stand a chance, but it's just cool to see him get this opportunity.
I do like the fact that he looked Renee dead in her eye and said, I'm going to make Jon Moxley my bitch. And then Renee had to react to it. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because also, too, it's just like, you know, Hobbs is just so convincing. You know what I mean? Dude is a fucking freight train. We then, immediately afterwards, though, after we came back from break, I think it was, Jeff Jarrett did come out again. You know, he didn't even get the chance to be in the match. And Jeff proceeded to come in, and he was interviewed. Also, I never even mentioned this. Our boy Ian Riccaboni was filling in for Tony Schiavone.
Yes.
And Ian was on the show.
And it had nothing to do with Tony Schiavone's tweet. It was a family thing.
So. Yeah, he was doing family stuff, yeah. I was hyped to see Ian Riccaboni on the show.
The Riccaboner. And it was so many people that said, pay him whatever you can to make him full-time. From what I understand, and I may understand it incorrectly because I am not media, he has been offered a full-time job with AEW many times.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it. So, it is what it is. I love Ian Riccaboni. Love it. Love him. Love him. Love him. Do not think he is necessarily better than what we have. I just love Ian Riccaboni. So,
yeah, he's just great.
I think, you know, do what you want to do in life. And I honestly do think it feels more special because he pops in every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, 1,000%. So, Ian was in the ring and he interviews Jeff Jarrett basically and how... Jeff Jarrett talked about how Last Outlaw has to ask himself now in 2025, do I still have what it takes to climb that mountain as he's trying to become world champion? And that's when MJF comes out. And MJF proceeds to tell Jeff how, I don't think you've had the distinct pleasure of meeting me. And he said how he was looking at the greatest world champion of all time, and he wants his Triple B back. World title scene seems like a lot of work right now. No one's worthy of holding my Triple B, but I can think of one man who might be. Man who's given his blood, sweat, and tears to this business for over 35 years, Jeff Jarrett. My dad told me he was a big fan of yours when he was a little kid. I know you want to be world champion, but clock is ticking. And I've done some digging, and you haven't been completely honest with these people. The contract you signed is for one more year. Now, was I not supposed to say that? You don't want to retire yet. But you had that to sign that contract because that's all professional wrestling thinks you have got to give. And I'm here to help. You've only got 1 year to prove that you've still got it. 1 year to prove to make sure that these fans for years to come, you can listen to these fans for years to come and make it back to the top of the mountain. I can help you. But when you procure my Triple B, I'm first in line for a title shot is the favor that he has. So he asks if he wants to make that deal. And then Jeff goes, you were the world champion, Max, and you had it longer than anyone, but you're still too young to understand that you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. And do you know what we call kids like you around here? One-hit wonders. And I know the road that I've got to go down. I've been at rock bottom, and I'm comfortable there, and life has put me at rock bottom. I know one thing, though, that gives me the opportunity to crawl and scratch and fight my way back to the top of the mountain. And he goes, you had the opportunity to enter this match, but you came out here to scheme. So it comes down to this. I don't need you, and whatever you're selling, I ain't buying, you entitled prick. I don't know. To me, this just does not seem like the route to go.
I want to make this very clear. This is where, to me, the show came to a screeching halt.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like this show was really hot. You had the Will Ospreay, Bernie Matthews match. Banger. You then had the thing AEW does better than anybody, the Gauntlet match.
Banger. Well, you also, before that, you had the setup for a great tag team feud in the Hurt Syndicate and Private Party.
Exciting. Like, that first hour or whatever, amazing. Then the skull came from Screeching Hulk. Because this is not a hot take anymore. I'm seeing it online more and more. I used to look forward to MJF with a mic in his hand. Oh, my God. That used to be like, oh, my God. He's going to do the thing, and I'm going to love it. And, yeah, I don't feel that way anymore. This just felt excessively long. And I don't, again, Jeff Jarrett, been a fan since childhood. Don't really care about Jeff Jarrett in this position.
Yeah, and here's the thing too. We've grown to love the promo battles that MJF has. We saw it with Adam Cole very recently. Problem is though, is like we need legit shit to hold on to with these promo battles, and like for a reason for them to go this long and all that kind of stuff. This was just a waste of time, I felt like. I understand it's an idea for MJF to be involved in the title picture and Jeff Jarrett to be involved in the title picture and all that kind of stuff. And it gives them stuff to do because we're dealing with Rated FTR going after the Death Riders. And, you know, Moxley's got a lot on his plate as the world champion. And there's a lot of people coming for his head because he's set himself as the enemy to all of AEW, you know. So there's a lot of people coming at him. But, man, this is just... You know, MJF just got done doing the feud with Adam Cole, which already did not have the strongest footing because it had to try to recuperate the tragedy of the feud falling off the tracks when Adam Cole got hurt. So it tried to recover that, and it didn't really do it that much. So in an instance where we needed MJF to really have a feud that he could sink his teeth in and remind people how fucking good he is and why he is who he is, this is what we get. It just seems like a complete waste of MJF at this point. Not saying they can't do good stuff with it, but I don't see why this is the route that we're going with MJF.
It just
seems like a real waste.
I don't know about ratings trends or anything like that, or if that's even important anymore with going to streaming or whatever. But I can imagine a lot of people turn the channel on this, because I thought about turning the channel, and I don't even turn the channel on AEW. I was watching the streaming, so I couldn't turn the channel. And I was thinking about turning the channel during this segment, because I just didn't care. I don't care. And it, like, literally put me in a point of not caring. And then, you know what they did right after that? Another long-ass promo segment.
Yep. And it's, again, another one with guys who could challenge for the world title. Neither of you were in the Gauntlet match where you could have gotten a shot at Moxley.
Oh, well, MJF said that was too difficult. At least
like I said, MJF had the excuse because he didn't want to do it, and he wanted to use Jeff Jarrett as a reason to get in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's one thing. What is Cope's excuse?
Oh, Cole's excuse is that he's too big. He doesn't have to. He can get this title shot by just asking for it. But no, this segment with Cope, I don't think it was bad. But when it's followed up with already being bored with another promo segment, no wrestling in between, I think that made it. I think the previous segment took away from this next segment. Because they're like, oh,
dude,
God.
I felt like for the Fallen was a similar situation.
Oh, my God. More talking? That's how I felt.
Yeah. Dude, I genuinely think, because like I said, it was the same kind of issue I had for Fight for the Fallen the week before. You had a really strong start where you had Hangman and Orange Cassidy. You had a good match between a quick little match with Hurt Syndicate and the Acclaimed. You had Julia Hart and Jamie Hayter, which was all right. And then you had the three-way match, which was the highlight match of the show. And then you had backstage stuff with Jay Lethal, Sanjay Sutton, Satnam Singh. You had Mariah May, who does nothing wrong, and I will never critique her whatsoever. You then had Jeff Jarrett's announcement promo. You had a squash match with Hobbs, which, you know, what can I say about that? After you had Hook with a backstage challenge, then you had Marvez interviewing Big Bill and asking about Chris Jericho. Then you had footage being shown about MJF after World's End, and then you had the main event. There was such a gap between wrestling on that show that, like, dude, you cannot have that long of a gap with no wrestling. People tune into Dynamite to watch great wrestling, and I understand the need for having storyline segments. I always push for strong storyline segments on Dynamite because I want shit to matter, absolutely, but you can't go these long stretches with, like, no wrestling. Like, after the Gauntlet match, it took forever to get to the next match, and it was the last match of the show. There was one more match on the show after these two promos.
Yep. And so, no, but Rated FTR and Death Riders actually like this feud to a point. You know, I think it actually leading to something, actually leading to a match, kind of advancing the story of the Death Riders. I love that they weren't ahead. They weren't ahead. But then the Death Riders they attack FTR and they come out on top. And who saves them? The guy that's wrestling John Moxley next week, Will Hobbs. I thought that part, as far as the fight and Will Hobbs making the save leading to their match next week, was actually well done. My critique wasn't what Cope said and everything that happened after that. It's that you went back-to-back promo segments. You should have gave us a squash match or something in between the promo segments. That's all I'm saying. And the Mox, I felt like the MJF and Jeff Jarrett thing, I don't know how long it lasted, but it could have went 5 minutes shorter.
Yeah. No, 1,000%. The promo itself, like I said, was fine. I thought it was decent enough. And again, like I said, I'm still in that period where I need them to really make me care about the Death Riders, and they get to do it. So I'm all for them to continue to try.
Make me feel something. Make me hate them. Yes. Make me love them. Something. I don't feel anything for them.
And I'm at right now.
Pac came back. I was happy about that, though.
Yeah, it's cool to see Pac. But again, I was just like, oh, there he is. I was wondering where the fuck he was.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's just where I'm at with, I can't add anything when it comes to the Death Riders other than you haven't made me care yet. You can keep trying. Make me care.
Make me
hate them. Make me feel love them. Something. I don't care what you do. Make me feel anything.
Yes.
Like how I do with our next segment, the world champion Mariah May talking about, you know, how incredible she is or whatever that is. And then that's when Harley Cameron pops up immediately and interrupts her and then talks about how we should give everyone hot girl graphs on Collision and as an appetizer, and Mariah May threatens her and all that kind of stuff, and then Harley Cameron just goes like, you're gonna feel around Harley Cameron. Excuse me, you're gonna feel around from Harley Cameron. Feel around, like,
yeah. Oh,
you've just secured the fact that this Collision is going to do 1 million viewers.
I want to let you know this about Harley Cameron, the less is more thing. Her segments are never longer than a minute, and they're usually the most memorable thing from most shows. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about her segment is less than a minute. I'm just saying there's a few acts that can take that, you know, into consideration.
Yeah, she makes the most of her time. And again, like I said, she's unbelievably talented. She's so good at what she does. She knows what her role is, and she plays it to a T. And again, her and Mariah, I am very excited to go watch that match on Collision. It is the reason I'm watching that show, basically. It's not even a question. Like, and that's a show where we're going to have matches like, we're going to have Dax Harwood and Chris Jericho on that match. I'm more excited for Mariah May and Harley Cameron.
Well,
that is the match that is selling the show for me, folks.
Yes, you know, Dax Harwood, you know, I kind of, you know.
He's gonna kick Jericho's ass.
Yeah, he's going to do a thing. So, No, actually, it's like, I would love Dax to win because I think the only singles match he's won in AEW is against Cash.
Yeah.
So
get this boy some singles.
If Dax gets the upset and then they set up a nice ROH title shot for Dax Harwood, I would not get mad.
That'd be hype.
that would be hype. You know, make give me another reason to watch ROH other than Athena. Because, you know, that's why I watch ROH.
We then have the semi-main. That was the final match of the show, but we have the semi-main match. Will Nightingale versus Chris Statlander versus Toni Storm, with the winner earning the number one spot in the Women's Casino Gauntlet match on Maximum Carnage next week on Dynamite. Really good.
Yeah, really good match. Willow did a spot in the match where...
Yeah, I was going to say, though, there's one spot that people are talking about.
Go for it. Yeah, you will explain it better than me.
Okay, so we had a spot where... I want to believe... Yeah, let me make sure I know who was hit where. Yes. I just need to make sure I got all my information correct with that match, with that spot, because Jesus wept. So what happens is... I gotta get myself straight because I'm losing myself just looking at this highlight again. Chris Statlander is posing over top of Toni Storm, like showing off her muscles and all that kind of stuff, not paying attention. That's where you have Willow Nightingale grab Toni by the legs, and I can't remember the name of the move where you, like, you know, pull back and you whip them by their legs and they kind of like throw them into the turnbuckles.
I think it's called a catapult.
Catapult or whatever the hell you call it.
Yeah.
She then proceeds to basically catapult Toni Storm's face into Chris Statlander's nether region.
Yes.
And then Willow gets up and then just does a little shaking of the hands like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like admiring her work, and
yes, that was awesome.
What an unbelievable moment! Like the smirk on Willow's face after she did that was just honestly that might have been more funny than the move itself. The way that Willow was just absolutely so proud of herself for doing that.
Yes, it was
just killed me.
It was super awesome. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Overall,
though, match itself was really, really fun. Toni Storm got hit with the Wednesday Night Fever, and Chris Statlander picked up the victory. She gets the number one spot.
Did you call it the Wednesday Night Fever? I thought it was called the Saturday Night Fever.
I guess it's called on AEW's site. They call it Wednesday Night Fever.
So I wonder if it's going to be called whatever it is.
I guess maybe it'll be called Saturday Night. It's only called Saturday Night when she does it on Collision. I don't fucking know.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. Right. But regardless, she hits the finish and she pins Toni Storm. She will be in the one spot for the gauntlet match, getting the advantage. Toni Storm then was interviewed backstage where she said, I mean, I'm not surprised I didn't win. Clearly, I'm not ready. It was an honor to be out there with Willow and Chris, but I'm just not ready. I guess I'll just keep working hard, but I guess it can't be Toni time all the time. And she gets very hung up.
That's her first loss as a rookie. That had to be very hard.
And it was a huge spot for her. I mean, like, for her to be in a match with those two this early in her career, you know, you can't beat yourself up about it if you're Toni, though. You know, you're going to get more opportunities. Yeah, for sure.
absolutely. I have to agree.
But a really, really strong match to close out the wrestling portion of this show. Again, my only big critique is we gotta stop having this. Like, it's 2 weeks in a row. We cannot have this big of a gap between the wrestling matches on the show.
Yeah. No, I thought this was good, but I thought there was this just halt. And I understand what promos and stuff are supposed to do. They're supposed to move the stories along. I definitely think there was a shorter way to do it. And there you go. That's all I'm saying.
And with a more interesting feud could have gotten that spot.
Yeah, and maybe do the gauntlet after the MJF promo.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, that's just me suggesting as a fan of what
or just
would
have
make
the promo open the show.
Yeah. No. Never again.
I know. Never do that. But again, like I said, I'm not gonna ask for Will Ospreay not to open up the show because that's how Dynamite is supposed to be. Even then. I would prefer that just so it gets it out of the way.
Yes. Let me tell you, I was so happy at the beginning because I had posted on Twitter that, you know, this is the perfect match. Just have Will Ospreay and Buddy Murphy already in the ring and let them go when the shoes show starts. They didn't necessarily do that, but they didn't do the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
We did not get I'm so excited. Did we? I don't
know. Yeah. No, we did not. It went right onto the show.
So it seems like TK's listening that his show is not for 45-year-old men. And I say that as a damn near 45-year-old man. You should not be.
There you go. Finally, we have the return on to Dynamite of the cleaner, Kenny Omega. He comes out and he talks to the crowd and says how he checked himself into the hospital a little over a year ago where he was given the bad news about his diverticulitis. And he said, you know, it took 2 feet of his intestines from him. And if he didn't get help when he did, he would have been told he would have been dead. So he said, it's been a roller coaster ride this past year. Upon successful surgery, the two questions were, how long would recovery take and when can I get back in the ring? Doctor said that it would be lucky if he could return to a normal way of life, let alone to the ring or to be the Kenny Omega that you used to be. So he's a pro wrestler. He pushes things a little too hard, and he had to ask himself, can he even do it? And he said there was a moment where he felt like giving up was the safest option, and when he considered that, he realized, what purpose do I even have if I don't have you people with me? And then he tested that theory for the first time a few days ago, and he found his purpose in Tokyo, Japan, and he found his purpose at Wrestle Dynasty, I mean, at Wrestle Kingdom. And he said, just living, he's like, if I'm not in this ring giving you people everything I have, then I'm just not living. He said, even though I may not be the same guy or do the same things that I used to be able to do, this new version of Kenny Omega is not concerned about money, power, revenge. This version is here to prove that he is still the... And then that's when he gets interrupted by Don Callis.
And then we find out Kenny Omega's a liar.
Yeah.
Because he just said he wasn't concerned with revenge.
And now we have Don Callis back.
And what is the first thing he does?
Immediately chases
the definition,
the shit out of him.
The definition of on-site.
This is like, Callis, like, look who's back from the dead, and then he just bolts out of the ring to kill Don Callis. And Lance Archer and Brian Cage come out and they double team him. That's when Kyle Fletcher came in. He gets involved. Will Ospreay's music hits. He chases out all of them with a steel chair. And then that's when Ospreay and Omega have a stare down. And then it was confirmed that it would be Brian Cage versus Kenny Omega on Maximum Carnage next week, as we close out the show with Ospreay and Omega having a stare down. After the show, Omega did get on a mic and cut another promo to send the crowd home, basically.
Yes. Kenny Omega is back on your TV. I'm still of the opinion. I am very excited for the Brian Cage match. Brian Cage says this is the match he signed for. This is the match he signed with AEW for. And I hope it starts off the show and just like Will Ospreay and him did, and they just go out and have a banger. And I hope they let them go a little longer. I want it to go 20 to 25 minutes, a few segments. Just let Kenny Omega be Kenny Omega. No, don't let New Japan give you the full on-brand, amazing Kenny Omega, and then you give us watered-down Kenny Omega on Dynamite. Give us the full-fledged Kenny Omega motherfucking experience. I want Rich Latta to turn off the TV, start a live chat just about how awesome Kenny Omega versus Brian Cage is, and say there's no reason for him to watch wrestling for the rest of the show because Kenny Omega just ended it. That's what I want. I want that fucking Kenny Omega. I want the Kenny Omega I just saw at the Dome, okay? And I was very much insane. I think what they should do with Kenny Omega over the next few years is just always have him building the matches. They said, hey, Floyd, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. We're putting Kenny Omega on the first week of Dynamite. All right, cool. Let's fucking go. But give us full-fledged Kenny Omega. Don't give us 7-minute Kenny Omega. Don't give us 12-minute Kenny Omega. Give me 25, 30-minute Kenny Omega. That's what I want. That's what I need. That is what I demand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've missed Kenny Omega so tremendously, and I'm excited to see him. Next week should be a fun show for certain, and that's going to close out this
AEW. No run-in.
Yeah, no run-in. Yeah.
No run-in. No DQs. No.
Yeah, just let him go. Let him go.
Dude, you got fucking Brian Cage. You know what Brian Cage knows how to do? He knows how to wrestle. I saw him on the cruise where it was like pretty much they were putting on a match and nobody cared, really. It was just like everybody was drinking, having fun. And about halfway through the match with Brian Cage, it was like, they started doing the Terminator clap. It was like he made everybody pay attention. So I know Brian Cage can work, and I know Kenny Omega can work. Let's go. Let's go.
Give me what I want.
I'm feeling pretty like Batista right now.
Yeah. So that was Dynamite from this week. We'll go ahead and real quick preview what we got for Collision next week. Like we said, we got Chris Jericho going one-on-one with Dax Harwood, Harley Cameron facing off against Mariah May in the match that everybody is looking forward to. And if you're not, you're a charlatan and you should feel sorry for yourself. Then you have the Rated R Superstar Cope going up against Big Bill. And then the matches that were announced for Maximum Carnage, we have, of course, Jon Moxley versus Powerhouse Hobbs for the AEW World title, Kenny Omega versus Brian Cage.
Versus the Best Bout Machine. The graphic on there looks amazing. They did a graphic AEW, and it looks amazing.
Cool as hell. Dude, they look fucking ripped as shit. You're also going to get Christian Cage versus Hook, so that'll be an exciting one. And then, of course, the Women's Casino Gauntlet match with the winner getting a world title shot at Grand Slam Australia.
Yeah, and they haven't announced everything for Collision. I'm just going to throw this out here. I see all these matches. Give us a private party tag team match. Give us a Bobby Lashley Shelton tag team match. Either one. But you got to keep these tag team titles and tag teams like focused, the focus of each show. So right now, I'm like, I don't feel like the whole card's announced, but throw that on there for us.
Yes, just keep these guys, because like I said, you've got a few that has me intrigued for the tag team titles. But we need to see them more consistently. Like, yeah. I can't just have one match on Collision or one appearance of Private Party against a team that I know they're going to beat. I need them to do shit. I need both. And then especially for Hurt Syndicate, let them win tag team matches. Let them be like build up themselves for a reason for them to get that title shot and all that kind of stuff.
Correct. I completely agree. Yeah.
Yeah. But that, I think, is going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate all the support that you give this show. If you enjoy the show, be sure to turn automatic downloads on and continue to download the show, whether it's on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. You leave a rating, review, subscribe. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at ATElitePod. You can follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible, and check out all the other shows they have on their network. Be sure to support the guys at Keeping It Strong Style. This is their time. This is the year and the part of the year where New Japan is at its highest of importance with Wrestle Kingdom and then, of course, Wrestle Dynasty happening. So check out their shows on those pay-per-views. You will not be disappointed. Those guys do the best deep dive on New Japan that I have ever seen on the internet. These guys know what they're talking about, so show them some love. And then I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. My buddy Floyd, I will toss it over to you, and you can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
One piece of news, the Von Erichs have announced they signed full-time with AEW/ROH. They announced that on their Claw podcast, so it looks like they are full-on AEW. Nice addition to the tag team division. Also, you know, they're six-man trio champions with Dustin and ROH, so I look forward to seeing them both wrestle with us, so that'll be great. I also want to give a shout out to a podcast coming back, Kyle and Phil. It is called the Elite Nation podcast, and they are coming back to, they were originally Elite POV, and they were originally Elite POV, and they're coming back to podcasting. I think they're very important voices in the AEW family. They offer something a little different than what we do here. A little more critique to it. So definitely want to check them out if you can. You know, always listen to us first. Don't get me wrong, but definitely want to check them out. They're great guys, and that's amazing. But that's all we have for you today. New year. The second show of the year. Really enjoying this with Austin. I thank y'all for listening, and I'm gonna leave you how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.